Well, it is good to be back in God's house this morning. Amen. I don't like when pastors do that, but I do it when I say that anyway. Call for an amen. Couple of things before I start with the message today. First, the state missions offering. Mickey's talked about that. Please go through that. Use that this week as a prayer guide that the state puts out for you. I am familiar with Eliza Broaddus, of course, for years, but also the last 4 years, I've been real familiar with the Alabama State Baptist missions offering, and we're doing their week of prayer down there as well, and that's how they fund what I do in Alabama. Is through one of the things that they do through there. So there's a lot of good ministries in Kentucky that happen through that. Every penny that comes into that goes straight to the mission field. So please remember to do that. Announcements, I love the way they're doing the announcements. So far I've slipped out and not had to do mine, but Mickey keeps telling me, you're next. So I guess I'll be doing one of those. But the ministry moments. But he does such a great job, I'd just rather him do it. So
you're next.
But if you have announcements to be made, please don't wait till Sunday morning and bring them to us. Give them to make sure they're in the office by Wednesday morning so that they can be recorded and presented that way. We're starting a series today. Actually, you could say we could back up from last week and use it too, but it's God's story is for everyone. And so we're going to be talking about that today. The title of today's message is Commissioned to Share. But, you know, if you remember last week, we talked about recognition. And the 3 points of the message last week was recognizing reality. We need to recognize reality of where we are individually and where we are as a church. And we talked about that from 2 Kings chapter 7, how those four men recognized the reality of their situation. We need to recognize the reality of our own personal situation. We need to recognize God's rescue. That was our second point. What is God's rescue? His plan of redemption. They recognized God's rescue and that it wasn't just for them, but it was for everyone. And so the third rescue was their obligation, and the recognition was their obligation, that recognize the obligation to go and share, to go and tell others about God's rescue as well. And so today we're going to be looking at it. We're really actually going to be looking at about 5 different passages of Scripture, a commission to share. We're going to look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. That one we'll get to last, but we've got some others in front of it. But, you know, as I was preparing this, got to thinking about, we're all commissioned to share. That's what we're going to study today. And I thought of the story of a young man who was in need of a job, and he saw an ad in the newspaper, local newspaper one day, for a Bible salesman. And so he thought he would go and apply for it. But this man had a speech impediment. He was a really bad stutterer, however that goes. But he had this speech impediment, was a stutterer, and after stumbling through the interview, the office manager just wasn't sure that he should do this because this young man probably wasn't going to be able to sell Bibles. And he was concerned for the young man, but the young man was insistent. So the office manager said, okay, he said, here's what I'll do. He said, here's a case of Bibles. Take this case and just see how you do today. If you do well today, you want the job, you still want the job, it's yours. So he was kind of giving him a way out there, the office manager's assistant, when the young man left, the office manager's assistant questioned the office manager in his judgment, fearing that the man's self-esteem would be destroyed as he stammered trying to speak on people's doorsteps because it was going door to door to sell Bibles. And the office manager, too, was concerned but said, you know, this way he can go try it, he can see it for himself, and hopefully he won't get too damaged self-esteem-wise because of today. But about 3.5 hours later, that afternoon, the man comes walking back in with a wad of money in his hands and no Bibles. He had sold every one. And the office manager's assistant said, how did you do it? He said, no one in our office has ever sold a case of Bibles in 3 hours. And he said, well I just went, my name is Tom, and would you like to buy a Bible, or would you want me to read it to you? Everyone bought a Bible. The man found the niche. And I'm not picking on anyone or making fun of anyone like that. God knows what hardships you have. That man overcame his hardship. He found a way in that niche. God knows what hardships you have. He knows what you struggle with. He knows what physical ailments you have. He knows what drawbacks you're strapped with. And he has allowed you to have those so that he can shine through you. He has allowed you to have those so he can shine through your life, revealing, even using those hardships and those setbacks. I served on staff with a pastor, the senior pastor, who was a stutterer just like that man. And this pastor never let it slow him down. He teared up a lot of times because he couldn't get the words out quick enough that he wanted, that God was speaking through him, and he wanted to share the gospel. But every week after week, and he's still, as far as I know, he's still pastoring. It was about 4 years ago I talked with him. But every week he got up there and preached and stammered and stuttered, but he brought God's word. That didn't stop him. His impediment did not stop him from being used by God and allowing God to use him through his difficulty. I have another man, a friend of mine, who was in church where I served on staff in Ohio, and this man had the same type of speech impediment, stuttered terribly. But this man, I would say, no doubt, shared the gospel to more people than the other 400 to 500 people in our congregation at that time. He was amazing. And so I watched him a couple of times, and I even invited him on a Sunday night, I think it was Sunday night or a Wednesday night one, to just stand in front of the people and show how you do it. And even though he stammered, he used a little track, and even if he was in the line at the grocery store or wherever, he showed how he did it and showed people how easy it was, how simple it was just to share. And he could do it with that speech impediment, and God blessed him doing it. How much more could God bless you and I? I was thrilled at watching him share with enthusiasm. Folks, Christ commissioned every believer to verbally share the gospel with others for the purpose of leading them to a relationship with him, with Christ, and for the purpose of eternal life in heaven for each one of them. Yes, or yet, despite his commission and his teachings, many Christians believe or live as though this part of Jesus' teachings doesn't matter. That part of Jesus' teaching doesn't apply to me. I'm going to set that over here. I'm not going to do that part, but I'll do some of these other things. But folks, when I read these passages in the Bible, I never read that it is for a select few. It clearly states in each passage that it's for every believer. We are all called and commissioned to share. You and I are supposed to be verbally sharing Jesus with others, sharing his story and what his story has for us. People that you come in contact with every day, no matter where you find yourself, people that you come in contact with need to hear the gospel, and they need to know that God has placed in front of them you so that you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can share his rescue story. Why does us sharing God's word, God's good news, why does sharing God's good news bring such intimidation to us? Do you ever think about that? This is God of the universe. Why does sharing the good news bring such intimidation to us as believers? It's a one little four-letter word called fear. That's it. It's fear. In my lifetime, and perhaps for centuries, some Christians and believers have said that evangelism is not my spiritual gift. That's his. That's hers. Somebody else has that gift. Folks, let me tell you, that boat don't float. It don't. Because nowhere in Scripture, when I read Scripture, nowhere in Scripture is evangelism mentioned as a spiritual gift. Evangelism is not a spiritual gift, and it should never appear on spiritual gift surveys, yet I've seen it on some, but it's not in the Bible. It's not a spiritual gift. Scripture does list evangelist as a spiritual gift, those who are to go and to be an evangelist. But evangelist and evangelism are two different words, and they have different meanings, different definitions. Few people are called to be evangelists, but we are all called at the point of salvation to evangelize, to share Jesus with others verbally. We're to share the good news. You've heard me talk about this before. If you go and you buy a new car and you love that car and it performs great, you don't have to go back to the dealership and go to school to talk about how good that car is, right? You share out of your experience. You share out of what you've learned. You share out of what is good to you about that car or whatever it is that you're proud of or that you appreciate or that isn't good for you. That's evangelizing. You're evangelizing a car when you do that. God has called us to be evangelism-driven as believers, to share with others, to tell of the good news. And the first passage that comes to mind when we talk about this subject for most believers is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And like I said, we're going to speak on that one. It's known as the Great Commission, and we'll use that one. But I'm going to do four others first. And in all five of these passages, it's Jesus speaking, and I believe very plainly, he answers the five fundamental questions of life. He answers the who, the why, the what, the how, and the where. And that's our 5 points for the morning. That's right, 5 points. Okay, we only got three. So did you bring your lunch? Don't worry, they're quick. They're going to be short and quick. But the first one is who. A fundamental question we always want to ask about everything is who. And in John chapter 20, verse 21, it gives us the answer to who. Who is commissioned to serve? Jesus, this is John chapter 20, verse 21. It says, Jesus said to them, again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. You see, folks, Jesus was speaking to the apostles, it's true, but he was also speaking to all who believe. There were more people gathered around him as he was speaking on this morning than just the 12 apostles. And so all of Scripture we know is given not only to that audience at that time, but is given so that every believer through the ages will learn from it and grow through Scripture. And so this was, Jesus was speaking this. If Jesus had wanted it only to apply to his original apostles, then he would have added a phrase to clarify it. Perhaps he would have said something like, you've been with me now for these past 3 years. You've walked closely with me, and I've taught you 12 by yourself. So now I want you to go. But that's not what he says. He doesn't use any of that terminology. Therefore, we understand that this you in this passage means me, and it means you. It's not just for that audience of that day. It's for each one of us. This passage, like all of Scripture, is for you, and it is for me today. And it's just as relevant to us today as it was to the original audience. All of Scripture is just as relevant today as it was then. And so to answer that first question, who is you? Commissioned to share. Who's commissioned to share? You are. Every one of us, as a believer, you have been commissioned to share the gospel. The second point, second question here is fundamental question is why? We always want to ask why. Well, the why is to avoid condemnation. And we're going to find that in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 16. You find it throughout the Gospels, throughout the New Testament. But we're going to see it more here, see it clearly here. Answer the question why. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16 says this. It says, then he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So we've seen who the you, we've seen the who is you. We've seen who the who is, that's you. You and I are to go into all the world, everywhere that we can make an inroad for God, everywhere that God leads us, we are to make that inroad and share the gospel, share the good news. Not only are we to go, but we are to preach, we are to teach, we are to share the gospel. Why? Because without hearing the gospel, people are destined for an eternity and a burning lake of fire forever. Folks, we take this very trivially anymore. This is not a trivial matter. Forever is longer than a long time. It's longer than a 70-year life. Forever is forever. You know what it's like to be burned? You ever burned yourself, maybe just burned a finger or a thumb or maybe on your hand or wrist or somewhere or even on your leg, just had one little burn spot? You know how that hurts? Can you imagine being in a lake of fire, totally consumed with that fire and yet not consumed either? Totally burning, totally feeling that same pain that you feel in one finger, you feel it over your entire body, but you can never get away from it? You can never escape it, not for an hour, not for a day, not for a week, not for a year, not for a lifetime, forever. You can never escape from it. This is every person's lot, unless each person repents and turns to God for redemption. Someone provided you that opportunity at some point in your life, and that's why you're sitting here today. But who are you robbing of that same opportunity by not sharing the way God has called you to share? Why? Who was you? Why? Because every person that you come in contact with deserves an opportunity to avoid burning in the lake of fire forever. Every person. Our third point is what? We answered the who, we answered the why, we're going to look at the what. What is verbal proclamation? Look at Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 46. This is where we find the what, the answer to the what. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 44, and this is part of what I prayed earlier this morning, but it says, "Then he told them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He also said to them, 'This is what is written. The Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day.'" You see, the what of commission to serve, the what is verbal proclamation. For years, we've bought into this belief that I can live my life in front of people and that's my part. Just live a good life, attend church on Sunday mornings, and that's all I have to do. That's my part. Folks, that's not true. Nowhere in the Bible can you justify that. It is true that you must live your life so that others see Christ in you. However, acting out a life without words is only acting. To fulfill Scripture, you must open your mouth and actually tell others about Jesus. Tell others about God's plan of rescue, His plan of redemption. You know, you can go out here, and I've probably shared this before, but you can go out here and you can hand out 500 bottles of water in Jesus' name, and He said, "Hand out a cup of cold water in my name." But until you open your mouth to share Jesus Christ, you've not done anything more than an atheist could do. An atheist could do the same thing. He can go out and hand out 500 bottles of water. He can even put Scripture on it if he wanted to. Until we open our mouths about Jesus, we're doing what a lot of people call that social evangelism. It's all social, no evangelism in most churches. And we need to move beyond it. And I had a church, actually, one of the churches I've worked through when I walked through with a year, a church in Georgia, that the pastor said, "You know what?" He said, "I've come to the conclusion that what we're doing," and they went out to, they had a community festival every year and had thousands of people show up at it. And every year they'd set up a booth there. And he said, "I've come to the conclusion we don't do one thing in that booth every year that an atheist couldn't sit up right next to us and do the exact same thing." See, in our churches, we need to realize what we talked about last week, that recognition of reality. What is the reality of our situation? Is what we're doing really working to fulfill the Great Commission? Are we doing something to make us feel good, make us feel we can pat ourselves on the back and say, we've done our duty? Even Scripture, Romans chapter 10, verse 14, which was read earlier, inquires, how will they know unless someone tells them? Did you hear it? Unless someone tells them. It did not say, unless someone lives quietly and peacefully in front of them. It says, unless someone tells them. So you see, the answer to the what is through verbal proclamation. And we need to learn, I think we need to learn and relearn that. And I am so grateful, as I said, for people in our church that we see doing that, we know that are doing that, and we see the results of people doing that. But let's look at number four, how. Some of the basic questions, fundamental questions in life is the who, the why, the what, and now the how. The how is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So here, this just should bring joy to us because we don't have to do it in our own power. The how is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, it's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That verse, which many of you are familiar with and can quote it to me, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." These folks, I mentioned something a while ago, and the main reason that we've lived with the false idea that we can keep to ourselves and hope that they catch it, the main reason we live that way is that word fear. You see, we've allowed our adversary, Satan, to convince us as Christians that we should fear what others might think or what others might say about us. We suffer from the fears of rejection. Jesus said, they're rejecting me, not you. Share it. Be obedient. Just share it. They're not rejecting you. Share it and move on. Share it. So the fear of rejection, Jesus just disqualified it. Said you don't have any reason to fear that rejection. Another one of our fears is not knowing. But I don't know that I know enough. What if they ask something I can't answer? Again, Jesus in his own words said, the Holy Spirit will give you exactly the right words to say at the moment you need them. And there are people here that can testify. I can testify to it. But there are other people. I've heard your testimonies where God has provided the right wording for you at the right time when you weren't sure what you were going to say or how you were going to respond to someone. Jesus said, you don't have to fear not knowing. I will give you exactly what you need. But that's important while you stay in Bible study and in personal private Bible study and in Sunday morning Sunday school and other Bible study, while you come to worship, while you learn, while you're encouraged by others and through the Word. And then there's a third one too, a fear that we do, the reason we don't share Jesus, and that's ridicule. I'm afraid I'll be ridiculed. And we don't use that word either or say it that way, but that's our fear. Do you think Jesus said anything about that too? He certainly did. You see, He's covered them all. We have no reason to fear. He said, if they reject you that way, wipe the dust off your feet and move on. But before you can do that, you've got to share. You must be obedient. God's called us to be obedient. That's all He's called us to. See, you can't win anyone to Christ. I can't lead anyone to Christ. If I could lead someone to Christ, somebody could come right behind me and lead them out of Christ. Mine is to be obedient, to share with others. And that's what yours is too. We are to be obedient and to share. Jesus took away all those fears. And here in this verse, he says, Jesus said, we have no need to fear because he said, you will receive power. When? When you pay enough money? When you attend church enough times? When you read the Bible through so many times? No. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses. He didn't say, and you might be. By that time, okay, I'll consider letting you be my witnesses. No, he said you will be because you will have the power of the Holy Spirit. You know who the Holy Spirit is? It's God. The same God of the universe that we've been talking about. He's power over everything. And we have that power within us to be God's witnesses. And folks, when we do not proclaim the gospel, when you and I go through life and we do not proclaim the gospel, we are living in fear and living the devil's lie. You're living the devil's lie. As believers, we're living the devil's lie. The devil's laughing at us. The devil's laughing at you when you don't. We don't have to live in fear. Do you believe that God is greater and stronger than Satan? Okay, two of you do. Thank you for that. Do you believe that God is greater and stronger than Satan? Absolutely He is, folks. He is greater and stronger. He's created everything. So if you believe that, then why? Why would you listen to and live according to Satan's lies? But see, believers do all over this world. You have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. And that answers the how question. How? So we've answered the who, we've answered the why, we've answered the what, and now we just answered the how through the power of the Holy Spirit. That only leaves one of the... There is another when, which we could answer that too, but it actually gets answered here. The where. Number five is the where. And this we find again in Acts 1:8 that we just read, but it's also in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. The where is to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you whenever I think you've been good enough. No, it's not what his word says, is it? And surely I am with you always. What does that include? Always. Even to the end of the age. Folks, it's no accident that you are where you are in life today. The house and the community that you live in, God ordained that. The job that you have, God provided that. The stores and the other places you frequent, God has given you the wherewithal to desire to frequently repeat visit there. Nothing you do catches God by surprise. God has placed you where you are in life so that you can join Him in His work. Nothing is a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. I don't know about you, but I don't believe in coincidence. It is not a coincidence that you live on a street with lost people or hurting people for neighbors. It is not a coincidence that you are working at the job that you have. It's not a coincidence. You heard me say, I don't believe in coincidence. Someone was talking with me just before the service started about they just finished reading God Provides, the book that we provided for them. They were talking about some of the things in there. And I said, you know, that's all God. And it's all a matter of opening or having our eyes open and our minds open to hear what God is doing and to see what God is doing around us. God has a plan for you right where you are, right where you live, right where you, in your neighborhood, in your job, or wherever you find yourself. God has a plan right where you are. Even if you believe the job you have is the worst job in the world, instead of asking God to move you out of there, first ask, how can I bring your light to these people, God? One of the stories in that book tells about when I worked in retail management. And when I worked in retail management, there were times when I wanted out. Retail management, you work a lot of hours. And there were times, years, when I say times, there were years when Pam and I prayed for God to move us out of that situation. And to show that God has a sense of humor, this is what God did at one point. I was praying, asking God to move me out. I had a supervisor who was not an evil man, but he just did not respect other person's beliefs. And so anytime we had to do something as a team, as a management team, he would always plan it on Sunday mornings or on Wednesday evenings. And he knew that I was a Christian and a youth minister and that kind of thing. So he wasn't an evil person. He just didn't have any respect for other person's beliefs. So instead of moving me out, God moved him out. Moved him to corporate headquarters to be a buyer there. I never had to deal with him again. And the day that his replacement walked in, and I watched him come in, I knew it was a guy that I didn't know, and he walked in and went straight to the manager's office. So I thought, okay, this must be the new, I forgot what we called him. I was the operations manager. His office was right across from mine. So I walked across the hall to introduce myself to him and told him who I was. I just told him my name. Said, hi, my name's George, and your operations manager. And he said, I understand you like to go to church. From now on, when you have to work on Sunday, or when you're scheduled to work on Sundays, you come in after church. I about fell down. I've never seen or heard that in retail management. I thought, wow, what a great God. And God used that experience right then to tell me that I'm not finished with you here yet. And I stayed there for another 4 years. And 4 years later, when I left that company, I was able to look back and see how God used me to touch the lives and share the gospel with many employees that had come to me as opportunities arose. And then after I left there, I mean, it was just a blessing to know that God had used me over those 4 years, and two or three things in particular where I got to reach and to touch quite a few of the employees. We had about 100 employees at any given time. And there was I had an accident. I had somebody rear-ended me on a rainy night one evening there in Dayton, Ohio. And one of the, what do they call, repair shops that the insurance company insisted I go and get, they had me get three, but I had that one that they said, here's one place to go to. It just happened to be the man that was intake man, I guess, intake manager, whatever it was, that was standing there was a man that I had terminated in that 4 years' time I was just talking about when I was there. It was just he and I opening up the store one morning, and I watched him going back out to his car, and I thought, that's odd. So I followed him out to his car, and he had two boxes of nails about that big, and he risked his whole career on it. And I had to terminate him. Now it was 5 years later, 6 years later, something like that. And I pull in, and he's the one supposed to take care of my car. There was no adversarial attitude at all. He was kind, just welcomed and greeted me, just was real. I mean, even when I terminated him, he was thanking me. Not because I terminated him, but he was asking me not to. But this day, after that 4 years was over, 2 to 3 years later, I'm standing in his body shop, or the body shop that he's a manager of, talking to him just like we were friends, cutting up, joking, whatever. And I find out that he's engaged. And in the conversation, I didn't say anything about it. He knew I was a minister. So he asked me if I would perform the wedding ceremony. And I never perform a wedding ceremony without doing a minimum of 3 counseling sessions first. And in the second counseling session, I always present the gospel. That young man and his fiance accepted Jesus Christ. I'm holy goosebumps. That's been over 25 years ago, 30 years ago maybe. Holy goosebumps all over me. They accepted Christ right then. And again, I had to say, wow. Had God granted my request 4 years, or 6 years earlier than that incident, 4 years before I left that company, if God had granted my request, I would have missed out. I would have missed out on all those blessings of serving God, being able to share with people as they came with me to me with prayer requests or concerns in life or life situations that had happened. I would have missed out on all those opportunities of serving God in those 100 plus lives and in the lives of those 2 people that I was able to lead to the Lord 6 years later. Wherever I'm at, might be a body shop. You never know. Wherever I'm at is the where. We are all commissioned to serve. We need to understand that. We need to realize that. We've answered the 5 fundamental questions of life today. We're answered. Jesus answered them himself. We read it from his own words. Commissioned to share. Who? The who is you. Why? Because everyone deserves the opportunity to avoid condemnation in a lake of fire. What? I am to share verbally. Use my words, God's words. The how? Not by my power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in me. And where? Every place that God has me this week. Every place where God has you this week. At work, at home, in your community, your church, the grocery store, gas station, wherever you find yourself. You see, you and I are commissioned to share. And perhaps we've known this for years. But may I say, after this morning, not one of us has an excuse. You and I are to carry the good news of the redemption of God, His rescue story through Jesus Christ. We're to carry that every day as long as we live and to share it, to help others understand it. How's God challenging you today through this scripture, through these words and the scriptures that we read and answering those 5 fundamental questions? How's God challenging you today? Are you going to be ready when you leave here? If you stop and need to get gas, or you stop at the store, or you stop and go to a restaurant, are you going to be ready? And God said, here's your first opportunity. Tomorrow morning when you get up and you head out to work or wherever it is that you're going in the morning, are you going to be ready when God says, here's your first opportunity? Here's what I want you next. Are you ready? Would you stand with me? We're going to enter our time of response. It's God's invitation to us to respond to Him as He's been speaking in our hearts and our lives. Perhaps God's laid on your heart something today that as you've heard me speak, that the Holy Spirit's impacted on your life. Of something that you need to do. You can come to the altar and pray. Nobody's going to think ill of you. People are going to be praying for you as you come. Whatever it is that's on his heart, Lord, whatever it is that you're dealing with in him, help him to be bold to face it and to do it. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this morning, for our time together, for a great worship experience that we've had here, that we can share and just lift up our voices and our hearts and our minds to you, and that we can open our minds to the Holy Spirit and to your pleading and your dealing with us. Father, I pray that you would, at this moment, continue to touch our hearts. Help us to understand the who, that we are the who. We are commissioned to share the gospel. And a commission is not a suggestion. It is what we are to do. It is as we go, we are to do this. And to answer the why, because not one of the people that we come in contact with, our friends, our bosses, our co-workers, our family members, not one of them needs to go without the opportunity of hearing about the gospel of Jesus Christ and your rescue story. Father, the others that we've talked about, the what, the where, the how, help us to understand our part in that. And then give us the boldness through the power of the Holy Spirit, as we talked about in the how, the power of the Holy Spirit to say, I can do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then help us to take that action step to move forward and sharing with someone this week, even this afternoon, about Christ, about your redemption plan, about your rescue story. Whether or not they accept that, Lord, it's not up to us. You've called us to be obedient, and in obedience, the commission is to go and to share. May we answer that commission. If there's someone here today who's come to the point where they realize that they've not made that complete decision, that they know they're going to spend all of eternity in heaven and not in that lake of fire. Father, it's not fire insurance, but we can show them through Scripture what you say. And I pray that they would come forward today and make that clear in their own heart and their own mind, that they know that without a shadow of a doubt, when they leave this earth, whether it's this afternoon or 70 years from now, that they know where their eternity is with you in heaven. Father, whatever it is, as you're speaking to people, may they come forward, may they pray at the altar, pray where they're at, grab someone else and pray with them, or bring them forward and pray with them, ask them to pray with them. Whatever it is, Lord, don't let us white knuckle the pew in front of us, gripping it so tight that we won't be obedient. If we won't be obedient in here to you, we're not going to be obedient outside these walls. Help us, even now, in obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You respond as God leads you.